know the one gate is open.
As Jesus says in our gospel reading today, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And then later on, he says, people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. This is God's word. Well, we all use doors, of course, every day. Doors to the house, to the car, doors into the refrigerator, which maybe we use a little too often, doors to the office, barn doors, closet doors, sanctuary doors, which we had hoped this morning we wouldn't need to use, but here we are, and that's okay. But for the most part, the doors that we use, we expect are going to permit passage. That's kind of the purpose of the door, right? To give us access to whatever it is that's on the other side of that door that we're after. But when the door that you really need to be opened is locked, that's not good. Have you ever been on a long road trip? You're out driving in some remote area. You've been on the road 2-3 hours, you've been drinking coffee, big mistake, or a big 44-ounce slushy, and nature calls, and you gotta go. But places with restrooms out here are few and far between. And by the way, something like this actually happened on a trip that we made with the youth up to Minneapolis years ago. That's another story. I won't tell that now. But imagine yourself now in that scenario. You're driving along, you're suffering, and finally there on the side of the road, on the edge of some little town, there's an old gas station there, run down, kind of grungy looking, but you don't care by this time anymore. You are desperate. So you stop, you jump out of the car, you hurry and you make your way to that one restroom, and it's locked. And there's a note on the door that says, restroom out of order. And there you are, outside, weeping and gnashing your teeth like the man in the Lord's parable. And you're crying out, no, 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 please, please, door be open. But the only answer to your despondent plea is that sign, out of order. It may as well say, go away. If you've ever experienced anything like that kind of desperation, when you're standing outside of a locked door that you needed to be opened to you, can you even begin to imagine what it must be like to stand outside the locked door of God's eternal kingdom? Pleading, pleading for that door to be opened again, and instead be told, I don't know you. Go away. That's something that we don't very often like to think about. Most people prefer to think that everybody's going to get in. Everybody goes to heaven. But Jesus clearly teaches us otherwise. There is a door. It is narrow, but it is open right now. But it will be closed and it will be locked. And there will be many who are outside. So someone asks Jesus in our gospel reading this kind of an academic kind of question that apparently was stirring up some controversy in his day, even as it stirs up controversy still to this day. And they ask him, will those who are saved be few? Does everybody get in? Do most people get in, or only a few? But in Luke chapter 13, it's the beginning of the gospel, Jesus is on his way already to Jerusalem for his appointment at the cross. His death is imminent, and he knows it, and he's not interested in debating academic questions. He's interested in people, and in each individual for whom he will die. And so Jesus brings the question from academic to practical and personal. as if to say, I don't have time to talk about how many will be saved. Let's talk about whether you will be saved. And then he says, strive to enter through the narrow door. Strive to enter. Now, the Pharisee in all of us hears those words, strive to enter, and the first thing that pops into our minds is, well, you see, salvation is by our striving, by our works, and by our effort. But nothing could be further from the truth that Jesus is trying to teach us here. He is not teaching us that we are worthy to enter because of our efforts to be righteous, which is a Pharisaical notion that he consistently condemns, as do his apostles. Remember, it is not we who opened this door to the kingdom. The door is already opened. It is opened because Jesus opened it. And even more than that, Jesus is that open door, which he flung open wide when he himself was shut out from heaven. And his desperate cries of agony met with stone-cold silence from his heavenly Father, when he was the one who was being treated as the unknown one, weeping and gnashing his teeth on the cross as one who is cast out from the presence of God. But even as that door was closed to him, he was opening that door to us. The only way into the kingdom of God, through the blood of his sacrifice, which sprinkles us clean in the sight of God, and redeemed from sin and death to stand before the throne, welcomed through the door to the inheritance of the saints, worthy because he is worthy, into whom we have been baptized and whom we believe. You know, in one sense, there really is nothing easier than entering by this open door. It is, after all, open. You don't have to do anything to open it. It is the striving of Jesus that opened that door for you. And now he simply invites you, go through it. By believing in him who saved you by grace through faith. This is not your own doing, Paul says to the Ephesians. And that is such great good news for us. As Jesus said, the Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. What's easier than that? In Christian baptism and Christian faith, you have already entered that door. And you are already a part of his eternal kingdom. The kingdom which he says is within you. So what is this striving that Jesus talks about? Well, he is teaching us that following him is going to have a cost. It's going to be a struggle. Those who enter the kingdom of God by that one and only narrow door in this life will and must strive and struggle, even as our Savior himself struggled. The path of the disciple of Jesus Christ in this life is hard and it's difficult and it requires us to strive. The Greek word for striving is the word agonizomai. It's where we get our word agonize. It means to fight, to strive, to contend with great difficulty against a powerful enemy. In other words, to enter God's kingdom through Christ, its one and only open door, is to engage in a lifelong struggle and battle. True Christianity is a fight to the end. Now, I know there are a lot of churches in this world who twist the gospel to mean that you don't have to put up a fight in this life. Just be what you want to be. Do what you want to do. God loves you on your terms. Come on in. It's an easy path. But Scripture teaches us that to be in Christ is to die to your old self and to live a new life. And therein is our struggle. The fight that every Christian must fight as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, as Paul said it to the Philippians. And so we strive against our own sinful flesh. Oh, that's a huge, huge battle that we fight every single day against the selfishness and the anger and the lust that is cooked right into us. We wrestle against the schemes of the devil and against the cosmic powers of darkness and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's a battle, folks. We fight the culture like that ichthys fish that's swimming one way when everybody else's, the world is swimming the other way. And it's getting harder and harder to do that, to be the child of God in this world. It's a battle. We struggle against false doctrine, which is difficult, beyond belief, because false doctrine is what itchy ears want to hear, and the truth is not well received. And that, too, is a fight and a struggle. Sometimes it even seems we're struggling against God, who is disciplining us for some reason that we can't quite figure out yet. And we are encouraged in our epistle reading today to endure. It's a struggle. And that's how we enter the kingdom of God. Striving against powerful adversaries. For as Paul says in Acts chapter 14, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. But we don't grow weary or faint in our striving. We rejoice to be a part of that pilgrim throng that comes from the east and the west and the north and the south, who enter through Christ the one and only narrow door to the other side, where we will sit down with Christ to the feast of salvation forever. And outside? Yes, outside there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth among those who thought that Christianity was easy, that it didn't require them to struggle against sin and evil in their lives or in this world, who preferred to think that God just accepts everybody on their own terms without any repentance. And that's why the door is so narrow. That's why so few will enter that door, because striving to enter by that door requires a fight in this life. It requires us to die to our old selves, to repent. And very few people want any part of that. But today, that door stands wide open. And the invitation remains, strive to enter through the narrow door. While there's breath in your lungs, there is hope for your soul. My friends, don't ignore that open door. Strive to enter. Because one day, it's going to close. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have become for us that open door to the kingdom of our Father. As we enter that door, O Lord, and strive and struggle in this life, we pray that you would attend to us, be with us, to strengthen us along the way, until at last we enter into the banquet, the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom forever. Preserve, protect, sanctify your church, O Lord. And Lord, help us to bring with us many others into your kingdom through that one narrow door. We pray, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.